Okay, on to more serious matters. Our text for today is from the book of Colossians. It's a letter Paul wrote to his Christian friends in Colossae. And his words are connected in some ways to the words that we read earlier in the service, the words from Jesus. They are warnings, words of warning. I invite you to hear these words of warning this morning, Colossians chapter 2. Starting in verse 6 and following. The Bible says, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the element spiritual force of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head of every power and authority. In Him, you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through your faith in the working of God who raised Him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to this world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word for us this morning. Several years ago, I was going to Birmingham, Alabama for a meeting, and I planned to stay with some friends of ours who lived just south of the city. They lived in a small rural community south of Birmingham. So before I went, we were emailing back and forth to get our plans straight, and my friend emailed me back about confirming when I would arrive. And in the email, he gave me a very important piece of information and advice. In all capital letters in the email, he wrote these words: "When you get to Harpersville, a little town close to them, slow down. They are known for catching speeders." Okay. Well, I read those words and I thought that I logged them in my brain. But somehow that piece of advice was not at the forefront of my mind as I drove through the little town of Harpersville. And guess what happened? Have you ever noticed how bright flashing blue lights are in the middle of the night? Well, sure enough, I looked in my rearview mirror and the blue lights were flashing behind me. So I braced myself, but I was very fortunate. Actually, this guy who had been tailgating me for 2 miles past, had just passed me, and the police officer went past me and pulled him over. I know it's not a Christ-like spirit, but I loved that. Have you ever gotten some advice that you didn't pay close enough attention to, and you paid the price for it? Have you ever been warned about something in your life, but for some reason you didn't pay attention to the warning and it came back to bite you? Recently, I read a couple of signs of warnings. They're interesting. One sign said, "Do not cross this pasture unless you can do it in 9 seconds because the bull can do it in 10. Another said, "Danger, do not touch. Not only will this kill you, but it will hurt the whole time you are dying." Maybe the one I liked the best was on a plumber's truck. "We repair what your husband fixed." That's not really a warning, but I just like that. But warnings are important for us, aren't they? Warnings are critical. They give us bits of information that we need along our way. And that is certainly true in our spiritual lives. We need warnings to tell us about approaching danger. We need warnings to tell us about potential harm in our lives. But there's a catch with warnings. Warnings are only useful when we pay attention to them. The Bible is full of warnings. In the scripture reading we had earlier in the service that Logan read for us, Jesus warns his disciples, he warns us about what will happen when the time is coming to a close, about the end of days, about the times when we need to trust in God. He gives us words of warning. And today in our passage in Colossians, in this letter, Paul gives warnings to the Christians who were living in Colossae. Basically, Paul is saying to these Christians, "I know you're faithful. I know you're doing your best as believers to live for God. I know you're seeking to do what God wants you to do. But I want to warn you about some things that you need to be aware of." These are some specific warnings for the faithful. This morning, I invite you to listen to these warnings with me and to see not only how they apply to the Christians in Colossae, but also how they're relevant for our lives today. First warning here is found in verse 8. In that passage, Paul says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and basic principles of this world rather than on Christ." Hollow and deceptive philosophy. What does that mean? Some people, some scholars who have read this believe that Jesus is teaching against that branch of study known as philosophy. Philosophy, in their minds, is dangerous. It's a waste of time. It is humanity's attempt to understand things that we simply cannot understand. Well, I was a philosophy major in college, and so I take a little bit different approach to this passage. While that could be true, I think Paul is also more concerned about things he saw in the community of Colossae. He was more concerned about teachings of the society, teachings of the culture of that time that the people were buying into, and that it was becoming harmful and disruptive to them. In other words, we might say that Paul was concerned about false teachings that were taking place and had in the community and become popular, even with many of the Christians there. These false teachings were hollow, they were deceptive, and Paul felt like he needed to warn his Christian friends against them. Through the entire letter to the Colossians, Paul is saying to the Christians there, listen, stay away from any belief system or any kind of practice or way of life that competes with your allegiance to God. Stay away from, pull yourself back from anything that competes with the allegiance you have to your faith. Paul says there are teachings in your culture, in your society, that do a number of things. This is what he says through the whole letter. They take the place of your faith. They seek to control you. They attempt to alter God's plan and purpose for your life. They create a climate of fear and distrust within you. That's pervasive through the letter that Paul writes to his Christian friends in Colossae. Now, I invite you to think about those things with me this morning as we think about our own lives and our own walks of faith. I wonder, what are the hollow and deceptive teachings and beliefs of the time in which we live today? You can probably think of many, and many are going through your mind even right now. But what about the compelling desire for personal achievement and success that often becomes consuming and even controlling? Now, you may think, but yes, but doesn't God want us to be happy? Doesn't God want us to be successful? And I'm not saying that achievement and success in and of themselves are wrong or bad. But what I am saying, as we read this passage and as we think about our culture today, that there is a pervasive teaching in our society that we might call selfism. It's all about me. And according to the Bible, that becomes so dangerous. When a person buys into the teaching of our world today that says your personal happiness, your personal success is more important than anything else in life, there is nothing more important than you being happy and successful, that becomes dangerous. My reading of Colossians and the analysis of our society today says that may be one of the most hollow and deceptive teachings in our world today. When the ultimate goal of life becomes satisfying our own wants and desires and doing whatever we have to do to attain our own satisfaction, our spiritual lives can suffer. When we try to fill ourselves up with ourselves, when we chase after only our own wants and desires, we discover that we still feel empty and unfulfilled. So we do more and more trying to make ourselves happy. And we become like the dog chasing its own tail, running in circles. That is exactly the kind of warning that Paul is giving here to his Christian friends in Colossae, and I would submit to you, to us today in our world. Jesus said very clearly, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else that you want or need in life, it will be given to you. But seek first the kingdom of God. Scripture warns us as Christians from living our lives according to the hollow and deceptive teachings that come from our world. There's more as we go on and read through this passage. The second warning is found in verses 16 and 17. After reminding the Christians of what God has done for us, Paul says, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to religious festival, a new moon celebration on a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Paul's second warning is basically, these are my words, don't let anyone judge you for doing what the Holy Spirit has placed in your conscience for you to do. Don't let anyone judge you for doing what God wants you to do, whether it's eating or drinking or attending religious festivals or Sabbath practices. You are free. Christians are free to do as their conscience dictates under the guidance and leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, we may say at this point, complete freedom? Is that dangerous? Isn't that a little bit too wide open? I mean, after all, Paul may say here it's okay to do whatever you want to, but if we read Romans, Paul says very clearly in Romans, all food is clean, but it's wrong for Christians to eat or drink something that causes another person to stumble. So, what is the message here? The message here is when God has planted a seed in your heart, don't let anything take that seed, that direction, that guidance away from you. Freedom is not completely open-ended. That's not what Paul is saying. But Paul is saying when God places something in your life, go after it with all of your intensity. Whatever God has placed in your life, don't let anyone else judge you for it. Don't let them stop you from thinking or doing or acting or believing or being the person God wants you to be. And in the same way, then, do not judge someone else for not being like you. You see, that message is implied in this teaching as well. It's a double-edged warning against judging others and being judged by others. When I was at Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, there was a sign, a couple of signs that were posted on the big grassy area that was in the middle of our campus. This big courtyard was between all a complex of buildings around, and it was the center, the heart of campus. But on the outskirts of this big grassy area, they had placed signs. The signs said, "Please walk on the grass, but don't make paths." What a wonderful message. You are free to walk on the grass. You're free to take your shoes off, walk as you'd like to, go in a straight line, walk in circles, hop, skip, jump, do whatever you'd like to do. But don't make a path. In other words, don't force someone else to go your same way, to do exactly what you are doing. That's what Paul is saying here in this passage. You don't have to follow the exact same faith of others. Be yourself. Be who God has made you to be. But extend that same freedom to other people. The final warning I want to mention to you this morning is verses 18 and 19. Paul says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you for the prize. For such a person goes into great detail about what he or she has seen, and the person's unspiritual mind puffs them up with notions. The person has lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported together as God grows, causes it to grow." This is a complex warning, and we don't have time to completely unravel it this morning, but let me just summarize it with these words. Do not be led astray by those who are not truly worshiping God. Do not be led astray in your life by those who are not truly worshiping God. Paul says there are some who claim to be Christians. There are some who say the right words. There are some who act like they are living a life of piety, but they are not connected to the head. They are disconnected. They worship things other than the living God. That's what Paul means when he says worshiping angels. It's not that angels are bad. It is not that we're not supposed to believe in them. Not at all. That's not the warning. The warning is God alone is to be worshiped. And we must never let someone persuade us to worship anything other than God, no matter how good that thing may be. Don't allow anything, however good it may be, to take the place of God in our lives. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Let's be honest, this morning in each of our lives, there are so many things that we can easily place before God, before our faith. There are many things that are good things, but they are not God. These are words of warning for us this morning, warning of the faithful. And the question is, what comes before God in your life? What do you find yourself placing before your faith at times in your life? Is it your job? Is it work? Is it family? Is it fun? Is it hobbies? Is it rest? Is it money? Is it relationships? Is it time? Whatever it is, how is God warning you? What kind of signs is God giving you to say, this is dangerous? I deserve first place in your life. This morning, the message of our text is clear. As we journey down paths of our Christian lives, God offers us warnings. God says, pay attention, take heed, for you do not belong to this world. You have been bought, redeemed, sanctified, and made holy. You belong to me, God says. So as our scripture verse reminds us, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Warnings for the faithful. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, this day we are grateful that your word gives us comfort and also gives us words of warning. Thank you, God, for loving us enough that you guide and direct us in life and help us to take heed, to pay attention. For Lord, we know that you are the solid rock. Help us to trust in you. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.